Sometimes it depends. If a person comes in a dream, first of all, if it happens in the first year, then the soul is still down here. But if it happens after the first year, that's a total different thing. But if the soul comes after the first in the first year, it still comes in dreams and it's not happy, means that the family has to do tshuva. That's the only thing. If he's a messenger to tell the family, I'm suffering, meaning that down here, the family has to do tshuva.
How long the neshama, the whole, stay there and is it clean? And
say, each neshama is different.
I don't know, sometimes they have maybe 50 years the father died. Still they make candle, every year they go and make it to a
The thing is that we don't know anyone up there how long it takes. We know that the mishpat, the trial of Arasha, lo aleinu, is 12 months in this world. That's why in a mishpat of a tzaddik it's 11 months. That's why we say kaddish in this world 11 months. So this is in our time, but the person can be in mishpat in Shamayim, it can be thousands of years in the time of Shamayim. But it depends on the person.
It depends on the
family? First of all, it depends on the person. Yeah. Person has to be responsible for his own things. Yeah. But if the family down in this world, they do tshuva, they help that person. Okay. If they don't, then it can make it harder. Yeah. If the person, chas v'shalom, now is in Shamayim in a trial, and you know, it's 50-50, and then will come what's called a mekatrigim, the prosecutor, and say, oh, you know, that person did such and such and such, and they're showing things that's going on down in this world. And if comes the defense attorney and says, yeah, but look at his son. He paid all his money to send him to yeshiva. Now the son is doing mitzvot. So the acts in the world down here affects the neshama in Shamayim. That's why when the people down here do tshuva, it affects the neshamot in Shamayim. Even after 50 years. The thing is that in our time, we know that everything in Shamayim is 1 year. After 1 year, that's it. Yeah. But in the time of Shamayim, there's not 1 year. The Mishpat in Gehenom can be 50,000 years long for the Neshama to feel. We don't know it. We know that the Neshama right away goes up to Shamayim, the Ruach leaves after 30 days, and the Nefesh stays in the body, next to the body, till the body decomposes. Then also the Nefesh leaves, and even a piece of the Nefesh stays in the grave. But a very small piece of the Nefesh.
In the grave?
In the grave, next to the grave. It stays there always.
Always?
Yeah. But a very small piece of the nefesh, the soul has different levels. But it really... excuse me? No, why scary?
If you do mitzvot, a lot.
There's nothing to be scared of. If a person, chas v'shalom, is doing bad things, he has what to worry about. If a person does the will of Hashem, he's nothing to worry about. And obviously what you leave behind is either for your merit or for your, not your merit. If a person sends his kids to yeshiva and teaches the kids to do mitzvot, and he teaches them to be God-fearing people, and then they grow up and they become God-fearing people, then the neshama goes up to Shamayim. It can say, oh look, I gave my life to the kids, now they're continuing my way. Wow. And it gives chut to the neshama. If it's the other way around, then the kitru can come and say, look, you, instead of sending your kids to a yeshiva, you send them to public school. Instead of teaching them to keep Shabbat, you took them to a football game. So, of course it affects in Shamayim. That's why a person wants to constantly, in this world, make sure that when he goes up to Shamayim, acting in this world is like an insurance policy. Yeah. You pay here your dues in this world, in Shamayim, you have a policy, you can wave up in Shamayim, hey, look, I did this, I learned Torah, I give tzedakah, I did zikui rabim, I educated my kids.
And after that, comes to the grandchildren.
Of course. Yeah. The thing is that one... You're very welcome. The thing is that one person can be responsible for thousands of people. So, you know, you can have a son, that he will have a son, you're already your grandson, that he will have a son that will become a giant in the Torah and will have 50,000 students. You have the lineage, that's how you say, lineage of everybody, of all of them. Think about it, I'll give you one example. You know the famous Baal Shem Tov? Everybody knows the Baal Shem Tov. His father was a simple person. Very simple person. Imagine the merits he has in Shamayim that his son was such a great giant and he had thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of followers throughout the generations. Imagine all funnels up to the father of the tzaddik. The nechad shelo, ken. Rabbi Nachman from Breslov is Baal Shem Tov's grandson. Yeah? So imagine just from one person, from the Baal Shem Tov, what came out. The whole Hasidut of Breslov came from one person that he was the grandfather. The grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov, had a few Talmidim. One of his main disciples was the Magid from Mazrij. His Talmid was Baal Atanya, Rav Shneur Zalman. He is the founder of Tnuat Chabad, of Chabad. Imagine how many Hasidim and Talmidim are beneath him. It all comes all the generations. And you can think of it, that from the Baal Shem Tov, look how many people came out, Shomrei Torah Mitzvot. Yeah. So imagine the merit, the one that stands on the top.
That means when someone did mitzvah, come bigger and bigger mitzvah.
Of course.
And then if someone did mitzvah, Hashem's day, until he come back.
Yeah? That's why the Mishnah says, Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. Mm. You're the sachar, the reward of the mitzvah is the actual mitzvah. That's what you're going to get in the world to come. They're not going to come with a check. They're going to come and tell you, here's the mitzvah. It's yours. And Hashem Erachem, the other way around, Schar Avera is the Avera. You get to deal with the problem you make.
Mitzvah in
Yep. Yeah, you wanted to ask something?
Yeah, as in the Olam Haba, you could see and know the Machshavot Bnei Adam. Also now,
no.
You can't see a person and say who he is.
No.
שאלה
אמרה שבעולם העליון אתה ראית את כל המחשבות של כולם גם עכשיו בעולם הזה אתה רואה את המחשבות של כולם?
עכשיו הוא לא עושה
חיסולים
לא
חיסולים שם
וגם עוד שאלה
yeah, go ahead
as you say that you tell us only one person from what you saw that means they don't let you to say everything?
A lot, yeah
They don't let.
Yeah.
They
exactly. A lot.
But whatever you said, it's.
It's very smooth. The thing is that mainly because I can't explain it.
We can't understand, right?
You, even if I would be able to explain it, you won't understand. But I can't explain it. I always give a mashal. Imagine a person who goes to a vacation, comes back from his vacation, tells his friend, "Don't ask. I went to this island." And we had this amazing fruit there. Mm. Really? How did it taste like?
Like
apple. He's like, you know what? I don't know how to describe it. So he tells him, was it sweet? No. Was it sour? No. Was it bitter? No. Was it spicy? No. So how did it taste like? I don't know. There's no such a taste in this world. I don't know how to describe it. Okay, so how did it look? It was round. What color? Blue? No. Green? No. Red? No. What color? There's no such a color in this world. So everything that I saw, even if I would be able to find the words to explain it, it wouldn't make sense even.
But you said a lot, but then you said it.
Yeah. The thing is that...
Only one person?
Yeah. Mainly because there's no words to explain it.
Malach amat ha'mar be'atzmo
What was more scarier than Malach HaMavet is the thought of not having any connection to Hashem. That's much more scary than the Malach HaMavet. Is the thought that I'm not going to have a connection to the Master of the Universe for eternity. This is what's called karet. Chop off. En kesher l'kadosh baruch hu. That's more scary than a little angel.
But anything you call Hashem, that's how he came to save you.
I don't know why he came, but Baruch Hashem, Chanun v'Rachum, came.
I see your grandmother. You had a great grandmother. That she was protecting you with a lot of tears. She was saying, please save my grandson. Don't let him go down. I know he's going to go to the left side. She really cried on you, Neshama, to save you. When I felt it over the phone, the lady asked me, why do you think God gave, let you leave back if you don't have mitzvot? So you said, I really don't know, but I saw that you had a great, great grandmother that was really, really tzaddikah. Wow. I don't know, you're going to ask your mother, maybe I can ask her directly.
Yeah.
Or your father's mother.
Maybe. I always say that I don't know why. Yeah, could be.
I thought it was your grandfather, Anava, that also had some merits.
Could be. You know, we all have, if you go in our in all of us, go 5-6 generation back, for sure you'll find there's a tzaddik. We all have. And now only in this generation. Probably. Somebody.
That you came there and you didn't have anything on you, because even positive thought.
I didn't have positive
thoughts. Wow. Your whole life.
First of all, I have a witness, my mom.
It doesn't make sense.
But I'll give you an example. Take now a cup, fill it with water. Okay. I'll give you the example the other way around. Take a cup and put like a dark liquid, Coca-Cola. Okay? Black. Now take a drop of water and drop it in the black. Would you see the drop of water?
No.
Within a second it will dissolve in the black. So even if you have 1% of good and 99% bad, that good disappears. Even if you have 10%.
All of us have bad at some point.
That's so, why...
But we have good too, from the time you're born. There is good within us from the moment.
Yeah, it depends on the person.
It's in your blood.
I'm not talking about other people. I can only talk about myself. I can talk about myself that I was not a nice person.
Now he's very nice.
I still, in my head, I still don't get that.
The thing is that a person can be, let's say, for the sake of the example, 30% good. Like you said, machshava tova, or all sorts of things. Sometimes the bad can be so much, the good has no, in Hebrew they say mamashut, it's like air, nothing. They did show me some good things. They were trying to lelamed zchut, they were putting everything together. But it was nothing. You know, I always say, and I say it in a funny way, I don't know if you heard the lecture, but I always say in a funny way, that when I look to my left in the my mishpat, there was thousands of malachim, of prosecutors. When I look to my right, there was two defense attorneys. One was crippled, one was blind. That's how I always say it, and I say it as a joke. But the reality was that there was two only defense attorneys. I was circumcised, and I put tefillin on my bar mitzvah. But you know why they were crippled and blind? Because for other 15 years, for the mitzvah of tefillin, I closed my eyes. I don't want to see it. So that mitzvah became blind. And the other mitzvah that I was circumcised, for all the rest of the time, there was such pgam in that mitzvah, he was totally crippled. So even sometimes you can do a mitzvah, not you, a person can do a mitzvah, and then do a sin in that department, let's call it, you totally destroy the mitzvah. And there's a, you know, the Midrash gives a mashal that of a king. The Midrash gives the mashal of Bet HaMikdash. And there's a, the story says that there was once a king, and he gave to his son a beautiful garment. He brought the most talented sewers, however you say, the most talented designers, the most expensive fabric in the world. He sewed this amazing garment. The kid put on the garment, went outside to play, came back, the whole garment was ripped and torn and dirty and totally destroyed the garment. The king got so upset, he was like, okay, fine, he's a little kid. He did again a garment. This time, he made it an even better garment. He went to the furthest places in the universe to buy the fabric. He brought the most professional designers. This time the garment was like, wow, chaval al hazman, beautiful. He gave it to the kid wore the garment, went outside to play, came back, the garment again, totally destroyed, ripped and anything you can imagine, totally destroyed the garment. The king got upset. He says, okay, he's a kid. Then he did the garment again. This time he did it even more beautiful than the first two times. Better fabric, better designers. It was amazing garment. But this time he told the kid, you see this garment? You're not getting it. I'm going to hang it here. And when you're worthy to get it, I'll give it to you. This mashal goes on the Batei HaMikdash. Hashem gave us the first Beit HaMikdash. We destroyed it like that. Hashem said, no problem. Gave us another Beit HaMikdash nicer than the first one. We destroyed it like that. He says, no problem. You're kids. He built a third Beit HaMikdash. And he says, now I'm leaving it up there. When you're ready to get it, I'll give it to you. So sometimes a person can do a mitzvah in this world, amazing mitzvah, but then go and make a defect in the exact same path so many times that the mitzvah is so dirty and deformed and destroyed that even the mitzvah, as much as it's a mitzvah, it's covered with already too much dirt.
So when you finally realize, how can you backtrack it and correct it?
Because you can do anything in this world. This is the only world you can reverse everything.
So you can correct
everything
by doing mitzvah?
Tshuva, by doing tshuva.
Tshuva means?
Tshuva means, first of all, not doing the sin anymore. Then
same
it means... You have to do tshuva for every sin that you did. So if you did 500 different types of sins, you have to do 500 tshuva for everything. Tshuva is a general thing. But a person, he's 30 years old, decided to become Baal tshuva. So he ate not kosher food, he has to do tshuva for that. He didn't keep Shabbat, has to do kosher tshuva for that. He ate on Yom Kippur, has to do tshuva for that. Every little sin a person did has to do tshuva for. Tshuva means, first of all, not doing the sin anymore. Then it means that he's regretting what he did. He has to feel bad. He has to have charata. Then he has to do confess, to have vidui, to say, yes, I did it. Most people, it's hard for them to say, I did it.
Confess to who? To God?
And sometimes to confess to whoever you did it. Vidui is not only saying, Hashem no bagadlo. That's easy to bang on my chest. Go to confess to the person you stole from. Don't go to confess to the person you cheated in business. I'm sorry I cheated you. Go to confess to the person you lied to face, I'm sorry I did this to you. The vidu is sometimes not only coming to Hashem, saying, Hashem no bagadno in a room, that's very easy to say, I can do that 50 times a day. But to confess face to face to the person that you did something to, that's the real confession. And if it's between you and Hashem, then yes, you confess to Hashem. And the ultimate part, what seals the tshuva, is never doing it again. So when I became Baal tshuva, I had to do tshuva for 5,000 sins.
And you can actually, in some cases, you can apologize or admit or actually be in front of someone physically. It's impossible. So yeah. What happens then?
So you have each problem. There's a solution. For example, when I became religious and I went to a rabbi and I told him, you know, I used to steal a lot of money in business. I was very crooked in business. You think I can find every person that I was crooked in business for the last 15 years? I can't. How can you do that? So he says, okay, you have to evaluate more or less. And if you think that you stole $50,000 and you can't find the people, so take $50,000 and donate it to poor people. If you think you insulted 300 people in your life and you can't find them to apologize, then you have to be super duper extra nice to 600 people, double. So there's always how to balance it. You can't find the person, then you have to find some, there's ways to do it. You don't make up the ways. But if you know, I don't know how many times, maybe how many people I owe money. So yeah, you have to take a certain amount of money and donate it. If your person was very mean to certain people, there's a, the rabbi told me exactly what to do. But there's an answer for everything.
Want to tell the story about the woman who had a miscarriage, she lost the baby, and then you told her,
yeah,
go, yeah, please.
Not too long ago, this lady came to me and she told me that she grew up not grew up religious. And at some point in her teen years, she became a little bit less religious. And then when she was in her 20s, she was with a man and she became pregnant and she had to do a abortion. And she was like, if I would tell my family, they will murder me on the spot. You know what it is to, like, my family are all religious. And she was like, and then it passed and I did my tshuva and, you know, I got married. I have kids now, I have four kids. But I'm carrying in my mind and in my heart that 20 years ago or whatever it was, I did an abortion. I killed a baby. I don't know what to do. How can I do tshuva for that? And nobody knows. She was like, you're the only one I'm telling you. Nobody knows that. Not my husband, not my parents, not anyone. Not the father of that child. How can I correct it? Who can I do tshuva for? So I told her, you know what? Your remedy, your etzah, go now to an abortion clinic and convince a girl not to do an abortion. You're going to balance it out. And that's what she did. She gathered so much courage to walk to an abortion clinic, to approach a girl she doesn't know, and she convinced her not to do an abortion. And she told me, she came home, she emailed me, she was like, I feel like $1 million. I feel like I won the lottery. I can't explain to you the feeling I had. And she told the woman, I'll help you with money, so you can go through it, etc., etc., etc. And I told her, okay, now that you saw that it worked, go and convince a few other girls. Because you don't know if one is enough to correct your problem. Maybe you need two. Maybe you need three. Maybe you need to do this tikkun for other people. Take some friends with you. But everything can be fixed. Kol od ha'nefesh dolek efshar letaken. As long as this world, as long as the neshama is in a body, you can fix everything. Everything, the worst sins, you can fix in this world. And you want to fix it in this world. Because once the light's out, that's it. Stoppers off. Whatever you achieved, you achieved.
Yourself.
No, you can fix for other people.
You can?
Yeah.
Fix if you have Einish.
Yeah. First of all, for any relative that you have that's already passed away from this world, you can help them. You can now say, I'm reading now for my grandfather. Every day, this capital of Tehillim, every day I'm reading this chapter of Tehillim is going to go for the merit of my grandfather, who passed away 20 years ago. The tzchut of this Tehillim goes to him. Now the thing is, even though he passed away 20 years ago, in Shamayim there's no time. So in his trial, 20 years ago, they already saw that 20 years later, his granddaughter will read Tehillim. And this merit comes to him. I always say the same joke.
Yeah.
בטח. זה לא כאילו שהוא קורא, אבל זה כמו שאני נותן לך עכשיו את הזכות. I always say a joke that one guy was sitting in Gehenom. Was a big rasha. Was sitting on the barbecue there, they were turning around the skewer, and they were cooking him. One time comes in a malach into Genom, and he tells him, you, get up, you're going out. Me? Yeah, you're going out. He didn't ask any questions, they're pulling out of Genom. They're putting him in Gan Eden. Putting him under a tree, sitting on a fancy chair, coming malachim around him, they're serving him like this, food, here, eat, and they're feeding him, and you know, Malachim are standing like this, making wind for him, massaging him. He's like, oh, this is the life. Sitting in Gan Eden for 2 weeks, enjoying the beautiful Gan Eden. Then the same Malach walks in after 2 weeks and tells him, you, get up, you're going back. Getting back? Now you just got me used to this place. No, we're sorry, you're going back. So he tells the Malach, I don't understand. I was sitting now in Gehenom. Finally you take me out, you're giving me to taste a little bit of Gan Eden. Now you're taking me back to Gan Eden. What's going on? So he tells him, listen, you don't have merits. You're going to be in Gan Eden for the rest of your life. But your son did tshuva. And you know what he did? He donated now $50,000 to write a Sefer Torah. Right on the spot we took out of Gehinnom. He's like, wow, but why are you taking me back to Gehinnom? So he tells him the check bounced. So the thing is, it's in the joke, it works also in the reality. I can now learn Torah and say this Sha'ah, this hour of Limud Torah, is going to the merit of that soul, grandfather, grandparents, friend, even a somebody you don't know. And I want it to go to that person, and that person gets the merit. You can now take charity and say, this charity is for, you know, not too long ago, somebody emailed me about this Holocaust survivor that passed away, no child, nobody to say Kaddish, no, but nothing. So we got a few people together, we got to bury her the right way, one person took on himself to say Kaddish, everything. So all these acts that we all got together to do goes to that person. So the thing is that you can do for yourself and for everybody around you. I read every day, every day. I read all my kids, Tehillim, my parents, my wife. Yeah, it takes maybe 10, 15 minutes, but I read Tehillim for everybody around me. So I give them money into their bank account. Nachon, I did it, I also get the mitzvah, but I read the kapitzes, this is for my daughter, this is for my son, this is for my mom. Yeah, so they get a savings account. When it's going to be the right time, you know, oh, yeah, you know, somebody invested in a saving account for you. Look how much Torah you got. So, yeah, you can affect everybody around you. Why not? So you can fix for yourself, and you can, you know what? You can do tshuva for your parents. If chas v'shalom, a person, his parents left the world already, they cannot do tshuva. The son can do tshuva for the parents. The son can do tshuva for the parents.
If you would like to dedicate a class in honor of someone, please contact us via our website at www.atzmut.org. Please subscribe to this channel to be notified about new videos.
רציתי להגיד לך, ילדה שלי, אני רואה את דמעותייך, את ליבך המבקש.